Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMe People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Thanks for listening to the Dogs of War podcast.
I'm Joe Thomas, and you're listening to the Dogs of War podcast.
What is it? It's September. It's week one. We've not been in front of a microphone in about 6 months.
No, dude, more than that.
But we're back.
9 months. Eight months. Been that,
wait. Was it January?
Yeah, the last December? Time you guys heard from us, the Browns were going into the...
Houston.
The bad Houston game.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Dogs of War podcast. Still the number one Browns podcast on the planet. You got Kevin.
And Raleigh.
And we are back for season six. Raleigh. Paige. The haters didn't think we'd last six episodes. Six seasons later, hundreds of thousands of downloads, subscribers. We're probably way over that by now. A couple hundred episodes. We're back. We've been away for a while. Life and family took over, y'all. I think everyone can understand that. But here we are.
Yeah, so much has happened.
Raleigh is not dead. For those of you that follow the Instagram, have been DMing me all summer. Great to hear from you.
Thanks, Kevin.
But Raleigh is not dead.
Yeah, we actually had a second kid, me and my wife, born shortly after that Browns massacre in Houston. She's actually here with us now, baby Paige.
Hey, Paigey.
Hi, girly. I watch her full time. And yeah, so much has happened. Yeah, the Browns got absolutely massacred in Houston. It was a tough ending to a beautiful season. Remember, they were all hurt. Oh, this kid's, she's going on one.
She's
now.
Good. You can't even hear that far away.
They can't hear that? Okay. Well, Paigey is on one. So if we misspeak or stumble on our words, we are blaming her. I guarantee they hear it.
It's all right. Who doesn't want to hear baby in the background? No, she's not crying. She's just talking to us.
Hey, can you be a cute baby? But yeah, it was a bitter ending to a magical season, and the entire roster was on IR during that miracle season, and they ran out of steam, and they got absolutely massacred in Houston. I kind of do appreciate, though, I say this, I would take that over, like, some BS. The Browns were winning the entire game and then, like, lost on some dumb call followed by a miraculous field goal. So, you know, we were pouring them out for the homies in the second half, and that chapter is done. On to the next season. But also, we didn't talk about Garrett winning Defensive Player of the Year, Stefanski winning Coach of the Year again, Schwartz winning Defensive Coach of the Year, Assistant of the Year, and Flacco getting Comeback Player of the
Year. That's a clean sweep, baby.
That is a clean sweep. All they missed was the Super Bowl and MVP, I guess.
The Browns never cease to amaze, right? We get blown out in Houston, which made absolutely no sense and never will. And then we sweep the end of season awards, which is hilarious. Minus MVP, but whatever. So we're back. We took some time off from, well, he took time off from the Instagram, took time off from the podcast. To be frank, to be honest, we did not think this was going to be a thing this season. I think it's safe to say.
Yeah.
We didn't know if the podcast was going to go on, but season six, can't say goodbye to it. So, not 100% sure what the schedule is going to be for us. You're going to hear from us in some extent. You know, it might be one episode a week, two episodes a week with that the Friday preview today. This is going to be the Friday preview and our episode this week. We'll bring out interviews as we can. Still going to go full steam ahead for all y'all. But yeah, as life comes at you and families grow and jobs grow, it is what it is. But we're here now. And before we forget, we went on our good friends, Kelsey and Meg's podcast, our favorite Dallas Cowboys fans, Girls Talking Boys. You can find that at YouTube, Girls Talking Boys, and on social media. Great time catching up with our Cowboys gals to preview the game coming up on Sunday, which someone here is going to be attending.
Oh, me?
Yes. Well, as far as I know.
I'm flying out in a couple of hours, yes. There will be golf. There will be Browns. There will be fun.
Raleigh will be in attendance. I will not be there. I'll be staying in Chicago this weekend, but I'll be back for a game soon. The good thing about the reason why I'm actually glad that we're starting this podcast right now is because we didn't have to sit around and talk all summer about contracts, injuries, idiots, coaching extensions. Now everything's done and we can just reflect on it and pretend like it's always been there.
Yeah. I do apologize though. I feel like we screwed the fans, the listeners, assuming you guys are still here. Shout out moms. We didn't do the fantasy draft.
I do apologize for that sincerely. I had a lot of DMs from some disappointed people on that one.
But our bad. On the other side of that, it's like your fantasy team's probably going to suck this year, and then it's just going to show the true value of what Connor brings to the team.
True value. Sponsor the podcast.
Yeah. Our bad. But we're here now. Kevin said we're going to go full steam. It's going to be some steam. There's going to be steam.
I'm just glad. Yeah, there'll be some steam going. I'm just glad, like an example, I'm glad we didn't have to talk about, you know, when are they going to extend AB and K? Like, they knew it was going to happen, but we have to sit here and just talk about it. We didn't have to give our full opinions in the moment on Jerry Jeudy.
Extend who?
AB and Stefanski.
Oh, right.
I didn't have to sit here and come up with some spiel about Jerry Jeudy and try to talk myself into being super excited, even though I'm very, I'd say, even keel about him. Hope for the best.
We don't have to talk about Mike Hall Jr. And
no, we don't. We did not have to talk about that. Thank God. There's pros and cons here. We're always glass half full. But big game this weekend. A couple big storylines. Dallas Cowboys coming to Cleveland. Afternoon game. The only game in town at the time. On TV, the whole world will be watching. It is Tom Brady's first ever game as an announcer. Excited for that. Browns are favored by 2.5. Over-under is 42.5. Let's talk about a few things first. One, as of this podcast being done here on Thursday, they have not yet announced who's going to be our left tackle, but it's a pretty foregone conclusion it's going to be Jack Conklin swinging over to play left, while Jed Wills continues to rehab and hopefully get back in the next few weeks, and then DeJuan Jones over at right tackle. So Jack Conklin was a left tackle at Michigan State, has not played left tackle since he came into the league 7-8 years ago, when he went to Tennessee where he was drafted. Taylor Lewin was at left tackle and all-pro, so Jack played right tackle and, you know, has been an all-pro right tackle. So I'm actually really excited to see what this does. Certainly better than, you know, a journeyman or a rookie over there. No matter who is at left tackle for the Browns, you still have Micah Parsons across the way coming at you. So that's going to be one hell of a matchup that I'm excited for. And then on the flip side of that, the Cowboys are starting two rookie linemen, a rookie center and a rookie left tackle. Now, left tackle, first rounder out of Oklahoma. We played against, you know, Max Crosby in the preseason against the Raiders and did a pretty good job against him. That being said, he's still a rookie, and Myles Garrett is going to be looking over, licking his chops on the other side of that line. Now, to be fair, as I said on the Girls Talking Boys podcast last night, Myles Garrett makes Pro Bowl veterans look silly out there as well. So, nothing against the rookie, but I'm excited to see what the left tackle situation for both teams looks like on Sunday. Other things going on with the Cowboys. It's McCarthy's fifth season back with them. Mike Zimmer is their new defensive coordinator. So, it's going to be very interesting to see how Zim's defense compares to Dan's last year. They brought back essentially a lot of the same players, most of the same players. They got a little injuries, their secondary, but Trayvon Diggs is back after blowing out his Achilles in week 2 last year. But they're still the Cowboys. They've been 12-5 3 years in a row. Last year they had a top five offense and a top five defense. Still a damn good coach, no matter what you say about him. And they got some studs, man. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb signing that massive extension. Be interesting to see if he's been back practicing enough to make a huge impact on Sunday. I would say it doesn't matter. He's CeeDee Lamb. Zeke Elliott is back at running back. Him, Rico Dowdle, Dalvin Cook, who's on the practice squad for now, but will be carrying the ball. Dak Prescott is still Dak Prescott. Again, takes a lot of heat, but the dude's always in the MVP conversation for at least the majority of the season. So the Browns, 8-1 at home last year. Obviously a massive advantage for us. Vegas has no idea what to do about this game. I have no idea what to think about this game. I will say, and again, to echo what I said on the girls' podcast last night, I have absolutely no idea what to think.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
About this season right now, I have no feel for it. In all the years as a Browns fan, I hope it means that we've just, you know, the fan base, myself, we've just kind of matured as a fan base, and we're finally just at the point where it's like, you know, show us what you got. And that's what we'll make our expectations from. We've seen nothing of the new offense. Ken Dorsey's the new offensive coordinator. You know, they kept it very vanilla, and none of our starters played in the preseason as we all would expected. There's a lot of new things, a lot of storylines for Sunday. Dallas's new defense with Mike Zimmer coming in. Our new offense with Ken Dorsey. How is that going to work between him and Stefanski? Kevin's still calling plays. And the most important thing at the end of the day, the number one storyline of Cowboys coming to the Browns week one, is how does number four, Deshaun Watson, play?
Well, you've really held it down this podcast episode and in general with the podcast, so thank you. I also have no idea what to expect, partially because I've been checked out for, and it's been, oh man, that was awesome not thinking about the Browns for that long. But we're back and we're thinking about the Browns, and the fear started hitting me yesterday. That comes at the beginning, the fear slash excitement every season. I think that the even keeledness of the fan base, or whatever you want to call it, kind of stems from they went on a run last year during the season. It ended abruptly. That sucks. So it's like, hey, we have something there. We have magic. Like, if that would have happened, like, in reference to the end of 2018, Baker's rookie year, the Browns went on a little run once he started playing. And it's like, okay, we got something. Then they trade for Odell. And we're like, okay, well, Super Bowl, here we come. But that was, I think the difference is we went on a run with the regime, a different regime than we have now, namely because of the quarterback position. It's all going to come down to, I don't think even the biggest Deshaun Watson supporter fan would be like, okay, now we're perfect because Deshaun's just going to go out there and throw up an MVP season. Because it's like, well, he hasn't really shown us that. Yeah, he is 8-4 as a starter, but a lot of those wins came from just being carried by the defense. It's also awesome that we have a defense that can be, that can carry you. So he's had, he's had numerous good games, but one game where you're like, okay, this guy's got the stuff. He was worth it. And that was that second half of the Baltimore game, which I appreciate. He had a tough first half, and then he bounced
perfect
back.
Half, winners 14, bounced back. 14 for 14.
Goes perfect, has eye of the tiger, and then, you know, we find out Wednesday that his shoulder fell apart, so it's like, oh, kill me.
Yeah, we talk about the most Browns moments of all time.
Yeah, but, so yeah, I think the even keelness is, I don't think any Browns fan is like, okay, it's an automatic layup.
that he's going to come out and be the best.
But like, my question for that, do we still have Amari Cooper and David Njoku?
Well, yeah.
Do we still have Jerry Jeudy?
Hopefully he matters.
Do we have Nick Chubb coming back around Halloween or shortly thereafter?
Hopefully. Hopefully the same Nick Chubb.
Do we still have Myles Garrett, who had 14 sacks and Defensive Player of the Year last year?
Yes.
Do we still have Denzel Ward, Martin Emerson, Greg Newsome?
Yes.
Do we still have one of the best O-lines in football with a bunch of Pro Bowlers and all pros on that line?
When they stay healthy,
my
yes.
point here...
Shout out Jim Schwartz, too.
For sure. We don't need Deshaun to be Pat Mahomes.
We don't.
We got to remember this is the best roster we've ever had on paper. We're knocking.
Why'd you say that?
Because it's true, and I knocked down
wood. We always say that every year.
You're going to make her cry.
We always say that
because
every year.
Because it's gotten better every year. This year's better than last year's. I'm just saying... Where we can put ourselves at ease a little bit, and I said this even a couple years ago, is everything is right there. If it just has to be executed.
Well, if it doesn't work out, I'm going to hang myself with that paper noose.
All right. Jesus. Oh, I already said that if we go through five quarterbacks again, I'm jumping up before Eddie Bridge.
Yeah.
I did that in the other podcast last night. Yeah, I'm on the record with that. This roster, there's so many weapons. There's so many things that have been built out. All we need Deshaun to do is just be like an above average quarterback. And I know easier said than done. He's had a pretty crazy few years, to say the least. But he doesn't have to come out here and play hero ball. Yeah, he's going to have some games where he puts the team on his back. That's any quarterback in the league. But it's time to go. It's time to get this thing going. He said he feels the best he's ever felt physically. He's in the best mental spot he's ever been in, he said. But I'm not saying anything that he wouldn't say right now if he was on a press conference. He says, yeah, it's time to go out and execute. Like, there's no more talk, no more this and that. It's time to go out and get this thing done.
But, what you said was all great. Like, when you said, do we still have Njoku? Yeah, we do. What we need is Njoku went off last season in the second half once, like, Flacco figured out, throw it to Njoku and good things will happen. Like, Deshaun, I need you to be smart enough to realize that throwing to Njoku is a good move. If you can't figure that out, I'm like, I don't care how talented you are. You are an effing idiot.
Shout out JLK, too, on his extension.
Oh, yeah. He was the only guy that played like a total badass in Houston.
And very true. And I'm also very excited for Grant Delpit, just in general. I think few people in the NFL hit as hard as Grant Delpit hits people. It's very fun to watch. So Sunday, it's looking like 68 degrees, Raleigh. Beautiful day, Cleveland, Ohio. That's not chilly weather yet, but it's definitely a good tailgate temperature. Hey, 68 on the lake.
You may have this memorized. You may not have it memorized. And I feel bad asking you questions, or if you asked me the same thing, I would flounder. Of all of the 50 guys who got hurt last year, who is still out? To this point, you'd mentioned Jed is going through rehab. Chubb, obviously.
Jed was cleared to practice last week, but didn't practice. He started practicing this week. He'll be back. Obviously not for Sunday. They haven't announced that yet, unless they are as we're recording this, which they usually do. People that went out last year that are still not back would be obviously Chubb. Everyone else practiced this week. The whole roster practice that's not on. I'm trying to think of who's on.
Is Ward good to go?
Yeah, Ward's back. Ward's playing.
He had like his fifth concussion.
Nyheim Hines is still on PUP. So just two running backs. And then Jed, who's slowly getting back in. But no, everyone right now, knock on wood, is healthy. Unless I'm forgetting some glaring injury that I don't know about. But no, everyone's here. We got healthy at the right time. You know, it was with Dalvin, with a lot of with Denzel having another concussion, with Newsom out the entire preseason in camp. It all came together the last week or two, which has been good.
Sorry, maybe that's a legit comment. We got healthy at the right time. It's week one of the NFL. If you can't be healthy by
very
week
true,
one of the
but
NFL.
We had too many people hurt the last 6 weeks.
Yeah,
so we're up and ready to rock. And the thing about, and this is a pretty obvious thing, but whatever. Every team's going through the same stuff. Everyone's got someone on PUP. Everyone's got a player they're dying to get back. So this isn't anything specific to us. But I'm excited for Sunday. I still really don't have a feel for it. I think it's going to be neck and neck. I don't think it's going to be some 48-45 game. But I've been wrong pretty consistently on this podcast, so we'll see what actually happens. But that's all I got, Raleigh, for our first episode of season 6 of the Dogs of War podcast.
Nice. It feels like.
Brought to you by Fansided like, Network.
Just like right. Shout out Fansided. So they Dallas has a new D coordinator.
Mike Zimmer.
Hopefully he sucks.
He doesn't suck, but hopefully the first game sucks. And I did this. I'm going to, again, I keep talking about repeating things I said on our friend's podcast, Girls Talking Boys, last night. My hot take for, and it's not that hot of a take, and this isn't because it's Browns Cowboys. This is going to happen all over the league because it's just the first time it's ever been put into place and no one played in the preseason. My hot take is that someone on Sunday is going to butcher this new kickoff horrifically bad. Could be the Browns, could be the Cowboys. Someone is going to, you talk about flounder, just muff this thing so bad, and I can't wait to see what it looks like.
Oh, also, I don't know if there is a ref conspiracy. I feel like I change my mind on that every other week, but for all you truthers out there, be on the lookout for this week. If it's Tom Brady's first game hosting the Cowboys, there's going to be that needle's going to be tilted towards the Cowboys. So I think the Browns, in order to win, need to absolutely murder them.
We have to. We'd be remiss not to give a shout out to Jim Donovan. Safe to say, a hero for you and I, a hero for a lot of people in Cleveland. He's every part of the voice of the Browns since '99. As we've said on this podcast a million times, there's no one that deserves to see the Browns win or succeed more than that guy. Because he's had to watch literally every play since '99, and that's a special kind of hell I wouldn't want to be in. So shout out to Jim. Everyone's praying for you. Really can't wait to hear some good news in the near future. You know, respect that you had to step away. Obviously, he listens to every episode of this podcast. So, but Andrew Siciliano.
What the hell are you going to – you're not going to let me talk about Jim?
No, go ahead. I'm trying to – because she's screaming into your microphone.
Yeah, that's true. Paige is screaming in the microphone. I would just say he is – he was the one shining star in a very dark and miserable franchise for all those years. And I mean that sincerely.
So Jim Donovan, the man, the myth, the legend. But Andrew Siciliano, big shoes to fill, and he'll never be Jim Donovan. But a pretty damn good pick will be our new play-by-play guy up there on Sundays. Siciliano, I believe he's born and raised in Virginia, but he grew up and raised as a Browns and Indians fan. So, and he's always wanted to be an NFL broadcaster. So it's pretty cool that the guy born and raised a Browns fan and now gets to live out that dream up there. So, and he filled in for a week or two last season and did a really good job when Jim was out getting treatment.
And he's equally Irish as Jim Donovan.
Big time. Yeah. Siciliano is right out of Westport County, Mayo. So shout out to the motherland, but well, that's good. That's a good 20, 22 minutes, whatever it is. Anything else you want to add?
What
song? Oh, shout out to our good pals, friends of the show, Carly and Wyatt Teller.
Yeah. Yeah.
New baby girl.
Baby Gigi.
Born a few days ago. Everyone's doing well, so happy for them. Hope to have them on soon. But anything else you want to finish with?
No. What song should we play at the beginning of this episode?
We might just keep it the victory song. We're going to start with the victory song for this week because it's week one, and we made it to week one.
Going to go with the victory
all
song?
All one piece, yeah, all one piece. We're going to start off the season with good vibes. Ladies and gentlemen, for Raleigh, for myself, thank you for listening to Dogs of War podcast. We will see you next week. Some of you will see Raleigh stumbling around the Muni lot on Sunday. Good night, Cleveland.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.